understanding the relationship between grace and work. When you look into the Word of God, there is a relationship between grace and work. One thing you should note is that grace is not an end in itself. Grace is supposed to empower for works to be produced. So understand this, that you were created to work. You are not a being that must exist without work. Work is actually what gives meaning to living. So if we do not understand what grace comes for, we may frustrate the grace, or we may have the grace, but the grace will be in vain. I see you accomplishing great things.
Now, your word in season.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for gathering us in your presence. Even at this moment, as your word come forth, may your word come forth in simplicity and in power, and may it cause a shift in our lives. May we accomplish great things as your word come to us. May we be empowered to do great things, even to prevail, even for the rest of the year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So this morning, I want to start discussing understanding the relationship between grace and work. Understanding the relationship between grace and work. Understanding the relationship. Understanding the relationship between grace and work. And today being the introduction, I will be mixing them, looking at grace a bit, looking at work. Then I pray that the Lord would give us access into his deep things even as we go on this subject. Amen. Amen. Most of the time, when we look at successful people, and by the way, you can be successful at every given level of your life. I always say that success is not actually a culminating effect at the end of your life, but at every given stage of your life, you can attain success at every given level. So that when we look at a particular stage of your life, we can say you have been successful at that stage. Praise God. So don't wait till the end of your life. Then we would say, let's measure your success. May we be able to measure your success as you move on from stage to stage. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And when we look at people's lives, especially people who are successful, you will hear statements like, oh, God has blessed him. Oh, it is God's grace. Okay? Oh, God's grace is what has made him like this. All right? So sometimes, because of the way we understand things, it sounds like some people have been graced, but you have not been graced. So when somebody is successful and has accomplished certain things, instead of finding out how it was accomplished, we just settle that they have just done it by grace. And therefore, nobody can also accomplish that. All right? Or only a few people can accomplish that. But I want you to know that when you look into the Word of God, there is a relationship between grace and work. But one thing you should note is that grace is not an end in itself. Grace is supposed to empower for works to be produced. Is somebody listening at all? Yes, hallelujah. So we will go into some definitions, but let me just make some few statements. You see, God is a giver of grace. And God, he specializes in ensuring that grace is made available. But grace does not accomplish things of itself. The one that has been graced must use the grace to work. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word of God says, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. May the grace of God on your life multiply. Amen. Oh, your amen is looking for. Amen. May the grace of God on your life multiply. Amen. But after grace has been given, what's next? So if we do not understand what grace comes for, we may frustrate the grace. Is somebody listening? Or we may have the grace, but the grace will be in vain. So there will be grace, but there would not be matching works. So if grace, God giveth more grace, then what is grace for? Grace is to produce more works. Is somebody listening at all? You see, here, I'm not just talking about the saving grace of God. So next week, we'll look at quite a number of things, but I'm talking about God's grace in general. Okay? And it begins with the saving grace, actually. Praise God. So the word of God says, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So the Lord makes grace available to his own. Okay? He giveth more grace. He does not keep back grace. Once you decide to walk with him in humility, he gives you more grace. Okay? Because you need grace to produce his works. So he giveth more grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, Paul the Apostle mentions something. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. I pray you would produce more works because you have been graced. And I pray you will not relax and say, I have grace, and God's grace will do it. God's grace does not just do it. There is what you must do with grace to see the results that you want to see. Is somebody listening at all? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 9, 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He is able to make all grace abound toward you. So whatever you must become, God does not keep back grace. He is able to make all grace abound toward you. Then he says, that ye always having all sufficiency. So now the grace comes and the grace will bring you all sufficiency. That means you have what it takes to become what you must become. Is somebody listening at all?
Yes.
Then he says, all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So you see, the grace he's making available is not an end in itself. The grace is abounding so that at the end, you will abound to every good work. Is somebody listening at all? So now look at something. Grace abound in every good work. Grace. God is able to make all grace abound. So whilst the grace is abounding, you must be abounding to every good work. So we should be able to measure the amount of grace you have received from God when we look at your work. Is somebody listening at all? Please take note. When we look at your work, we should be able to appreciate, oh, the grace of God has been bestowed upon this person. And because of that grace, he's been able to produce this kind of work. So it is not, oh, grace has come. So when grace came, you are hiding in your bedroom, you say, oh, the grace of God will accomplish it. Look at someone, say, the grace of God doesn't accomplish things like that. Hallelujah. So God is able. He is able. He has the ability to make grace available to you. So what do you want to become? What work do you want to do? What do you want to become? What work do you want to do? He can make grace abound. All right? He is able. And now, after grace has come, work must be produced. Is somebody listening at all? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. You will not lack grace, and therefore you will not lack works. And when you are giving grace, may you not relax. May you work with the grace given, so that your works will show that indeed God has given you grace. I personally believe that a lot of people are ashamed to the grace, because grace is given, but still no works to show for it. Is somebody listening at all? I believe grace people must be the best at work. So why is your boss complaining? Why is your company having issues because of you? More grace, more work. Your grace must not suffer. Your grace. If it is the grace of God that makes you do things, then your grace must not suffer in school. More grace, better grades. Is somebody listening at all? I see you accomplishing great things. Yes, because grace is abounding towards you. And because of that grace, more work, okay, will be produced. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. Listen to Apostle Paul. Listen to Apostle Paul. So after grace, work follows. Look at somebody in the face and ask the person, do you like work? Do you like work? Work. Do you know some people, they begin to rest before work starts. Some people wake up tired. When they wake up, they are tired. For the rest of the week, I see you working hard. Because the grace of God is abounding towards you. Amen. Now he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. We who believe in Jesus understand that we can do things because he graces us. Does it make sense? Yes. But I said the grace can be in vain. You can be graced and not do anything. Your grace, the grace that is bestowed on you, must not be in vain. Paul says, the grace, his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more. I worked more. I worked more. Oh, I worked more abundantly than they all. Whoever is in the all is in the all. I don't know whether he was talking about Peter or anybody else, but he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. So please, more grace, more work. Paul did not accomplish the things he accomplished by wishing. He accomplished them by working. Working. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. There is nobody on earth who has not been graced. The difference between people is that there are those who are using the grace bestowed on them and there are those who are not using it. Look at somebody and ask the person for me, are you using God's grace to work? Hallelujah. So, work. Today I really want to focus on work before I even talk about the grace. Because most of the time we think that work is a curse. Work is not a curse. Working is not a curse. Work is actually a blessing. In the book of Genesis, when God created man, the Bible says he planted a garden in the east of Eden. And the first thing is that he gave man work to do. Work. What was man's work? He was supposed to keep the garden. He was supposed to tend the garden. I hope you are here. Genesis 2:15. Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God gave the man work to do. The Lord didn't say, I created you to sing praises to me. Huh? How many of you know that they have said that when we are going to heaven to praise, just to sing, we are going to be in the choir? To be fair, I don't see that. That all we are going to do in heaven is just to be in the choir. That was not God's initial plan. When we finish eating, we just start singing. Amazing. He gave him work to do. He says, to dress and to keep the garden. To dress it and to keep it. There was work. He gave him work to do. For man to effectively have dominion, he said, you must work. And this is the work. Dress the garden and keep it. Our emphasis today is not in the dressing and the keeping, but I just want to show you that he gave him work to do. After the fall, when man fell, he was, in a way, the earth that was supposed to bring to him what he will eat, the earth was cursed. Man was not cursed. How was man going to fight the curse that was placed on the earth? Let's continue reading. Is somebody here at all? Genesis 3, 17 to 19. I pray you get it. And the Lord, he says, and, okay, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, thou hast eaten of the tree. Some men will read it and say, you don't have to listen to your wife. Look, no. He was saying that the subject matter, you listen to your wife and eat. So it was the fruit, not the listening. Look, your wife's advice can save you big time. Yes. You must listen to your wife. But make sure the subject matter, do you understand? Yes, and you make your choices well. Listen to your wife. If a male is sitting by you, say, look, if you are married, listen to your wife. Check that, check. And the husbands are saying, check the subject matter. He said, no, he said, I commanded you to do this. And then you listened to your wife and you did not do what I told you to do. You see, so you just have to check whether what your wife is saying is aligning with what God is saying. You understand? But he didn't say, don't listen to your wife. Okay, so now he says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. The ground is cursed, not Adam. So please, you are not cursed. And even when you are in Christ, you are not cursed at all. But the ground, he says, the ground is cursed, right? Now look at the next verse. Verse 18, he says, thorns and tares also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So it was supposed to produce for you easily, but now, because of disobedience, there's a curse on it. But the curse on the ground should not limit you. But how are you going to subdue it? The next verse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. So sweat is not a curse. Sweat is the blessing to overcome the curse on the ground. I hope you saw it. Man was not cursed. So if you see work to be a curse, you have misinterpreted the scripture. You must sweat. Sweat is sweet. If you don't sweat, life will be bitter. Life will be bitter. Check. There's no lazy man who is happy on this earth. It's like they pretend to be happy. They are not. Because laziness will bring you poverty. Is somebody listening to me at all? It says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Eh? The sweat. So don't Look at work as a curse. Work is a blessing. Sweat is a blessing. To suppress the curse on the ground. So you fail to sweat, you have signed up for the ground to frustrate you. You must sweat. You must be a worker. God is a worker. God himself. Those who study English, what is a pronoun? What is a pronoun? You can use in place of a noun. Okay. And what do you put in front of a noun? Okay. So what do you put in front of a verb? So you can use a pronoun or if you go to school and we ask you what you went to learn and you can't tell us. What did you learn? Say yes.
Then please, actually you can use what you call an adjunct. An adjunct is either an adjective or an adverb, depending on the structure of the sentence. For example, if you want to use a verb like run, you can either use very fast, that is, Amma runs very fast, that is the preceding adjunct, which becomes an adverb, modifying the run, which is the verb.
Clap for say. Say. Some people didn't hear anything. People of God. So, when you read concerning God as a worker, you know, God is many things that we are shown in the Bible, but one thing that stands out is that God is a worker. God works. And the Bible says in creation, he says, when he had finished his work, then he rested. He who doesn't work doesn't qualify for rest. So if you want to enjoy rest on this earth, make sure you are what? Working. You are a worker. You work. You love work. So after grace has come upon you, you don't lazy around and frustrate grace. You must work. Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. Let's read it. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. The next verse. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. He ended his work. It didn't say he stopped working. He ended that particular work that was, because he still works in us to accomplish his purposes. Is somebody listening at all? He ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Then when he created man, he gave man work. Please take note. He gave man work so that he can eat before he gave man wife. It's not marry, wife, eat and work. All the males, put your hand on your chest and say, I reject that disorderliness. What comes first? Work. Eat, then what? Marry. Not marry, eat, work. Have you ever met men who are waiting for women to take care of them?
Yes, Baba. They will eat, marry.
So God is a worker. Now, we see from the New Testament, he says, God, he works in us. So he's still working. He says, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God has not even stopped working. Work must be enjoyed. And I pray after we finish this subject, I want to see people who are serious about their work. Nobody said amen.
Amen.
I think everybody wants free lunch. Hallelujah. So Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But when he has worked in you, he expects you to work him out. Does it make sense?
Thanks a lot.
He expects you to work him out, work his purposes out. The Lord Jesus was also a worker, a hard worker for that matter. The book of John, John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I must finish his work. And I want you to appreciate that. As young people, everybody here is young. Appreciate that there is a time coming, you will not have the energy you have now. You will not be able to work as much as you can work in your young age. All right? Jesus said something. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night cometh where no man can work. I pray you will enjoy your pension. Amen. In the course of this subject, I would want to talk about multiple streams of income that would enlarge your river so that you start even to think about when you are on pension. Pension can be very frustrating if you don't work hard in your youthful days. Yeah. I pray that all of us will be so wise that we will do great investments in our youth so that in the day of, you know, I don't like using the word retirement. I would like the pension rather. Do you understand? If you are relying on something like, look at people have put their monies there. I don't want to sound political. I'm not. No, I'm preaching the word of God. So you see, you must think better, in a better way about your pension than relying on a certain scheme created by someone. All right? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Being young is day. Oh. Being young is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Hallelujah. Beautiful. So understand this, that you were created to work. You are not a being that must exist without work. Work is actually what gives meaning to living. Ephesians 2, verse 9 and 10. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So even here, he's talking about the saving grace of God. He says, you are saved by grace. Okay, it is not of works that any man should boast. But after you have been saved by the grace, look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So the grace saved you. You didn't do anything to be saved. But then after you have been saved, that grace that saved you, you have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So you are supposed to be working. You're supposed to be working. And in the New Testament, we are even instructed and commanded that those who do not work must not eat. You don't work. Please, can you look at your brother with a kind smile and say, did you hear what the scripture says? If you don't work, you should not be a busybody running around with nothing doing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. I hope you are writing the scriptures down. For when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If he won't work, let him not eat. So from today, if you don't work, don't eat. Hallelujah. So work is a command. Work is a command. Work is a command. Work is a command. Verse 11. He says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. They look like they are doing something, but they are doing nothing. They are busy bodies. After today, those of you working, you work well. Then those of you who don't have anything doing, you must change your mind and decide to work. Then there are those of you who look like you are working, but you are busybodies. When you go to work, where you say you work, when we check what you are doing there, it's not work. It's not work. And you are really being overpaid. Because when we measure what you do with the amount that is given you, I pray in the name of Jesus, nobody here will be seen as a lazy person. Amen. You will be a hard worker. Amen. You will fulfill destiny. Amen. And grace on you will not be frustrated. Amen. Somebody shout a living amen again. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. You know, when I'm introducing a subject like this, I read a lot of scriptures just to bring you to that point. Okay? It's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. It says, and indeed, ye do exhort all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. It says, that ye increase more and more. You see, you increase more and more. Then look at the next verse. He says, verse 11, please. And that ye steady to be quiet. Don't be noisy. Steady to be quiet. Don't just be showing your face on every book. Steady to be quiet. I have said something. Those who heard me, heard me. And to do your own business. And to work with your own hands. Not somebody's hand. Work with your own hands. Do your own business. God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by the Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building behind the Ajaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream prayer session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.